Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Tuesday, December 29th. With me now is Gabe DeBenedetti, New York Magazine national correspondent. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Gabe, your Biden article is called "A Biden Style of Government is Emerging, Lowest Drama Possible." Lowest drama in what sense?
Well, in the sense that, in many senses, actually, but the idea that I was talking about here is how he's building his cabinet. There have been a lot of questions about, you know, how he's coming up with some of these picks. Not many questions about the actual qualifications of the people, because they all are very qualified. But there were questions about, for example, why Pete Buttigieg made sense as transportation secretary, why Susan Rice, who is a foreign policy expert, made sense in a domestic policy role, why Javier Becerra, the California Attorney General, made sense for Health and Human Services. And what I was doing in the story was explaining through my reporting that the way that he's making some of these selections is not necessarily just by trying to find the top experts in every single field, though he certainly has done that in many cases, but really to choose people that he trusts, that he knows well, that he knows he can work with, because he views the pandemic not as a series of parallel crises that each agency can deal with one-on-one, but rather as an interlocking crisis. And for that reason, he wants a team that he knows he can build together, and, you know, a team full of people that he trusts personally, so that he doesn't think there's going to be any sort of questions about, you know, how he's communicating with these folks and how these folks are potentially competing with each other. He wants a team that has worked together already, and in many cases, these folks did work together during the Obama administration, and a team that he's confident can work together well, in stark contrast, obviously, to what we often saw in the Trump administration.
And your report, some people worry about so many cabinet members having pretty close relationships, pre-existing close relationships with Biden, and therefore direct access. Why could that be a problem?
Well, there's just simply a question. Just look, for example, at the foreign policy realm. You have Tony Blinken will be the Secretary of State if confirmed. And you also have John Kerry, who is a former Secretary of State in a major role as the sort of the international climate envoy. Both of them have personal access to the president, and so will have that. And so there is reason to, if you are a foreign diplomat of some sort trying to get in with the president, trying to get something to his table, there are multiple avenues with which you can have pretty big confidence that you can do that. So there are some concerns in that realm, for example, that there are a number of different ways to get the president's ear. I want to be clear that this is not a new thing. There have been many presidents in the past that, you know, like to use the phone, that like to take advice from all sorts of different folks. Just look at Bill Clinton, for example. But there is a little bit of a question about what the chain of command is going to look like. Foreign policy is just one realm in which that's true.
So how's the Attorney General sweepstakes going? That nomination has not been made yet, and we hear names like Sally Yates, Senator Doug Jones, Merrick Garland, but also recently, at least here in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo. What can you tell us?
Sure. Well, it's an ongoing saga, and every time someone asks the Biden team, when is this coming, they say, ask us later. It's certainly one of the most politically complicated picks, but it's also interesting because Biden does have a close relationship with a lot of these folks, and he's very wary of the notion that the Department of Justice should be independent in a way that President Trump really never paid attention to at all, trying to make the Attorney General his personal lawyer in many cases. And so, you know, for example, Biden has been close with Doug Jones since the 70s, and there is some concern among some people close to Biden that if he were to name him Attorney General, which would actually make a lot of people very happy, particularly in the civil rights community because of his history there, that there might be some perception that, well, but maybe they're just too close. And obviously, with some of the ongoing investigations into Hunter Biden, that's something that they don't even want to begin to have to worry about. But to make a very long and complicated story short, we don't know when they're going to make this announcement. There are still a lot of people who are said to be up for consideration. I've been led to believe that the governor, Governor Cuomo, is not sort of a top-tier contender, but obviously Joe Biden does think very highly of him. But for the most part, he's shied from naming governors, sitting governors, to roles in this cabinet because he does want them to continue to work on the pandemic response.
How much do you see at this point Hunter Biden's problems, and he is being officially investigated for possible tax fraud, rubbing off on the president. One thing I see on conservative media is, at very least, the soundbite that they keep playing of Biden from during the campaign saying he's never spoken to his son about his son's finances or businesses, business relationships, you know, in foreign countries. And then apparently there's some email that indicates, well, maybe he did.
This is something that Biden himself has expressed publicly to be completely confident about. And they've been, he and the people around him have been very clear that he has not thought about this or talked to any of the potential attorney general appointments about this issue. He wants to make it very clear that these are separate, that he's not going to interfere in that investigation. Obviously, it looms over. It's an inescapable fact of the presidency that he'll have to enter with these investigations, or with this investigation happening. But they're not treating it as if it's some sort of scandal hanging over them, more as a family member who is under investigation, period.
And before you go, Gabe, I see you're writing a book about Biden's relationship with Obama. And I know you can't scoop your own book before it comes out, but your publisher's announcement says you'll describe their close, complex relationship. So what can you tell us about what complexities you're exploring, or how to watch for them in the early days of the Biden presidency?
Well, this is a relationship that's lasted for nearly two decades, and it's one between two men with long histories in politics, and they've really shaped the way that each other thinks about the world. I think, as you said, I don't want to scoop myself here, but they have a complicated relationship because of their very different experiences, but also because of their shared time together. And what I would say is, you see it already in how Joe Biden has appointed a ton of alums of the Obama administration to his administration. You know, these two men still talk, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if we continue to see more of the, you know, not necessarily a hidden Obama hand, but a lot of the imprimatur of the Obama administration in shaping the way that Biden is planning out his at least first 100 days.
That's really interesting. How do you think it might show itself? Like, Obama certainly got out there to help Biden during the campaign. Do you see Obama playing any kind of advisory role on an ongoing basis after the inauguration?
I would be surprised if they didn't continue to speak with some regularity. And, you know, Obama has been out there still. He, for example, did a rally for the Georgia Senate candidates for the Democrats, you know, just last month or earlier this month. I guess it's still December. So, you know, he's not going anywhere. He was very, very careful about not being too public during the Trump years, but he's no longer going to be the immediate past president. Now, he doesn't want to overshadow Biden. He's very careful about that. And Biden is a very independent guy. But he has been pretty open about the fact that he does rely on his former boss whenever he feels comfortable doing so.
Gabriel DeBenedetti, national correspondent for New York Magazine. Thanks a lot, Gabe.
Thanks, Ryan.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.